Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, let's keep moving in the service here. And again, I got a message for you. Today, we actually finished the series that we've been in for a little while now called What to Do When You Do Not Know What to Do. So this is the finale, and we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. So if you got a copy of God's Word with you, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 10, and we're going to move all the way through verse 19. And today I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. But if you don't have that translation or if you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, the words are going to be here on the screen in just a second. But Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 10, and here's what God's Word has to say to us. My son, if you will take the time to stop and listen to me and embrace what I say, you will live a long and happy life, full of understanding in every way. I have taken you by the hand in wisdom's ways, pointing you to the path of integrity. Your progress will have no limits when you come along with me, and you will never stumble as you walk along the way. Verse 13. So receive my correction, no matter how hard it is to swallow, for wisdom will snap you back into place. I love that. Her words will be invigorating life to you. Do not detour into darkness or even set foot on that path. Stay away from it. Don't even go there. For troublemakers are restless if they are not involved in evil. They are not satisfied until they have brought someone harm. They feed on darkness and drink until they're drunk on the wine of wickedness. Verse 18, but the lovers of God walk on the highway of light, and their way shines brighter and brighter until they bring forth the perfect day. But the wicked walk in thick darkness, like those who travel in fog and yet don't have a clue why they keep stumbling. Such a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. For those that are taking notes, and I encourage you to take notes, I'm calling the finale of this series, here's the title, Just Get It. Would you write that down? Just get it. Let's pray together. Jesus, I love you so much, and I thank you for everyone watching and listening. And I pray, God, that you would speak such a powerful word from your holy word. I pray for the seasoned saints. I pray for the new believer. And I pray for those that do not believe, that every single one would hear from you and that they would receive your holy word. It's one thing to hear the word preached. It's another thing to apply the word to our life. So may we not just read the text, but may we ask and invite the text to read us, to apply it, to live it out, to be doers of the word and not just hearers of it. Holy Spirit, may you speak through me. Speak because of me and in spite of me, I pray. May you do a wonderful work in every single person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think even the best of us, if we were honest, we would admit that throughout our life, we've also made a bad decision or two. I know if I'm talking about myself, we don't have enough time today to go through all the bad decisions that I've made. And honestly, just to get serious even for a moment, like some of us, and I really just felt this as I was preparing the message, some of us, maybe you're saying like Pastor Ryan, like that's funny and that's lighthearted, but I'm in the middle of a bad decision. Like maybe you took on a new job and you're regretting it now because you shouldn't have taken on that new job. Maybe you started a new relationship and you're finding out now that you really shouldn't have started that new relationship. You're in the middle of a bad decision. Maybe you moved. Maybe you went to this school or that school. Like, I don't know what that bad decision was, but I just really felt in my heart. There's some people watching, some people listening, somebody that you're in the middle of a really bad decision. But regardless, all of us, We need God's wisdom to make sure we keep moving down the right path, to make sure that we set ourselves up for success and not failure. And particularly, I love so much about this passage in Proverbs chapter 4, but really there's one thing specifically that I love, and I love the picture that God's word paints here. Really, we just read about two different paths, two roads. And all of us, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, you're on one path. You're on the good path, leading to God, leading to life, good results. And then there's others that you're on the wrong path. You're headed the wrong direction. It's the road of fools, and it leads to pain and not to progress. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, that's great, Pastor. There's two paths, but how do I know? Like, how do I know which road I'm on? And I can tell you how. It's really, really simple. Look at the fruit in your life. We're going to get real practical as we finish this series. Look at the fruit of your life. That's how you know which path you've been walking on. Like, ask yourself questions like this. Am I closer to God now than I was back then? Ask yourself this question. Am I spiritually healthy? Am I hearing from God? And what I hear from God, am I walking in obedience to what God has to say? Here's a great question to ask yourself to know which path you're on. Am I walking in peace even though I face difficult situations? These are all indicators, friend, of which path you're on. And God, of course, wants you on the right path, the path where you're following godly wisdom and godly counsel. And here's what I believe, that as I've started this message here at the very beginning, when I started at the beginning of the message, you just thought to yourself, you know what, this message is for somebody else. I'm on the right path. And you've convinced yourself that you're on the right path. But what I believe is that some of you, you're misinformed. You thought coming into this message was for somebody else. You thought coming into this that you were on the right path. But I just fully believe that the Holy Spirit right now even is going to bring sweet conviction to let you know that I know you feel like you're going this way, but you're actually going that way. In fact, I love how Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 puts this. Before every person, there's a path that seems like the right one to take. And maybe you're there, but it leads straight to hell. It seems like things are going good to us, but right now the Holy Spirit's letting you know what? You're actually not on the right path. You're on the wrong path. And this is as crystal clear as can be. Oftentimes we think we're doing good. This message is for somebody else. But God's looking at you right now in this moment saying, you know what, this message is actually for you. And so here's what I hope. I hope that you'll have the boldness. I hope that you'll have the audacity to ask God this question sincerely. God, am I on the path that you want me to be on? Like, would you have that boldness here in this moment to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to ask Him honestly, God, am I on the right path? And if you ask God that question, friend, He will answer that question. And if you're sitting there or standing or whatever you're doing right now, logged on to this, and you don't want to ask God that question, well, I think you've already got your answer, that you're probably not on the right path. God, am I doing what I want to do or what you want me to do? Before every person, there's a path, and it seems good, but it really leads to death and in the end. We need God to show us which path we're on, and I believe that He will do that here in this moment. In fact, I want to give you the big thought of the day. I don't have points to give you. We've got one big thought that we're going to rehash over and over again in the next few moments. And here's the big thought. If you're taking notes, write this down. You need to know this loud and clear. You need to receive this in your soul. Please hear me. Every decision you make leads to a destination. It's practical takeaway truth for you. every decision leads to a destination. And so if you have ended up in a place that you do not like, if you've ended up in a place that you've never thought you'd be before, don't blame it on your circumstance or on someone else. Blame it and trace it back to your decision. Every decision leads to a destination. And if you don't like your destination, go back to your decisions, your choices. You see, Solomon, the author here of most of the Proverbs and the wisest person to ever live, he's saying here in Proverbs chapter 4 that every action, that every decision, every opportunity, every invitation that you and I face is an opportunity to take one step closer to life or one step closer to death. Your decisions, my decisions, they have a trajectory. They're taking us in a direction. They're taking us in a place that we'll either love or we'll hate. They add up steps on a path leading us somewhere. And in Solomon's mind, there were only two outcomes: the path of life and the path of death. Your choices lead you somewhere. Every decision leads to a destination. But here's where it gets real. Your choices don't just affect what you do, they affect who you become. I'm going to say that again. Your choices, this is nobody else's fault. Your choices, they don't just affect what you do, they affect who you become. You see, when you make choices that are all about you, you become more selfish. When we make choices, decisions out of anger, we become a more volatile person. So think about it this way. Maybe we shouldn't focus so much on what we're doing, but focus more on who we're becoming. Can I get a digital amen? In fact, I think of Solomon. If he could come here in person and speak to you a message right now, I believe he'd say this: focus on who you're becoming, not just what you're going to do. And when you focus on who you're becoming, what you do will take care of itself. You'll make right decisions. You'll focus on who you're becoming. And I know that there's many people in our church family that you're facing a big, colossal decision. Like, do I take this job? Do I move? Do I start this relationship? Do I end this relationship? Do we have another child? Do we try again to have a child? Like, what do I do? Where do I go? I know there's many people in our extended online family. You have big decisions in front of you. And I got to tell you, you need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom. And if you're not in the middle of a big decision, you will be soon. And Solomon would say to you, don't just focus on what you need to do, focus on who you are becoming. If you work on who you're becoming through your daily decisions, your daily choices, even those that seem insignificant, God will mold you and God will shape you, and you'll end up on the right path. The choices we make are like roads that we take. Some lead to life, and some lead to death. So how do we get on the right path? I want to give you practical handles. How do we get on the right path? How do we make godly choices? I got a big decision in front of me, Pastor, or I hear you. I know I'm going to have a big decision here down the road. Like, how do I make sure that I make good choices, good decisions? Well, I believe the answer is found earlier in Proverbs chapter 4. We didn't read this part, but I'm going to read you one verse from earlier. This is verse 7. This is out of the NIRV. And here's what it says. I love this. To start being wise, you must first get wisdom. No matter what it costs, get understanding. And I know you're watching from home, but would somebody help me out and help me preach this message? On the count of three, would you shout out, just get it? I know it feels funny, but give me some help and some support, because it's not easy preaching to an empty room, okay? So help me out. On the count of three, somebody shout out, just get it. One, two, three. Just get it. There we go. You just got to get it, God's word says. You just got to get wisdom. You got to stand up and you've got to go after it. You've got to ask God for wisdom. Oh, God, I don't know what to do. Ask God what to do. And guess what? He'll answer that prayer. The book of James in the New Testament talks about this, that if you ask God for wisdom and believe in your heart that he's going to give it to you, it is yours. So you got to just get it. You got to go after it. You do your homework and you do your research in the natural, but you better get on your knees and you better pray and ask God for wisdom, and he'll show up and he'll show out and he'll point you in the right direction. He'll get you on the right path. We all desperately need God's wisdom, living in a world full of bad choices. If you want wisdom, you better get it. You better go after God, the one who has all wisdom and all power and all might and all authority. So what's this look like? The next time you have a big decision to make, let's get real. The next time you have even a small decision to make, I don't know what to do. Do your research as much as you can in the natural. Talk to people who have wise counsel around you, godly men and women. But you better believe you need to get down before God, humble yourself before him, and ask him, God, this is what I want to do, but what do you want me to do? God, I want to start this relationship or end this relationship, but what do you want to do? God, I want to change jobs or change career paths, but what do you want me to do? God, I want to raise my kids in this certain way and have this kind of standard, but what do you want me to do? God, I want to spend my money this way, or I want to move to a different home or a different city, or I want to switch churches, but God, what do you want me to do? You got to get it. You got to go after it. You got to approach God boldly yet humbly, asking him for wisdom, and he is faithful to give it to you. I love how one Bible scholar talks about this idea of going to God directly and specifically asking for wisdom. Here's what they had to say about this. I love this. God does not reprimand us for past failures or remind us endlessly of the value of the gifts he gives. So we should come boldly with our request to the unwaveringly gracious God. Like, doesn't it feel good to know that when you ask God for something, when you ask God for wisdom, like, doesn't it feel good to know that he's not going to mock you for your requests? He's not going to belittle you. We didn't listen to the last 13 things I told you, so why should I help you out now? No, that's what we do. God doesn't operate that way. God's not going to mock you. He's not going to belittle you. He's going to answer you. And then it's your job to walk in obedience. Our God is a good father who gives good gifts to his kids, and that includes wisdom from on high. You may have 13 degrees, friend, but you're still not wiser than God. We all need his wisdom, his guidance, and he will pour it out lavishly upon you. I love this quote from Charles Stanley. Here's what he had to say about wisdom. Earthly wisdom is doing what comes naturally. We've talked about that a little bit. But godly wisdom is doing what the Holy Spirit compels us to do. Isn't that good? Yeah, research and do things on your own in the natural to be as wise as can be. Like, study up on your decisions. Talk to different people who know what they're talking about. But when it comes down to it, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, followers of the way, like, our wisdom, we understand it's limited. And we need the Holy Spirit's guidance. And not just for him to tell us what to do, but that we would walk out what he's asking us to do. That we wouldn't just say, God, bless my disobedience, but God, bless my obedience as I walk the right path. Not the path that seems good to me, but really leads to death. But the path that you have for me, whatever that looks like. Now, my hope and my prayer that you would apply that kind of thinking, that way of life to your life, that you make it practical. Not just hear this message, but apply it to your everyday life. You heard me say it before, and I'll say it again, that if the Sunday doesn't change the Monday, the Sunday didn't count. Every decision leads to a destination. If you don't like where you've ended up, don't blame it on somebody else. Take it back to your choices, your daily decisions. You would honor God, that you'd ask God for his wisdom, that you would just get it. Would you bow your head with me? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this time together. I thank you, God, that they took the time to watch this, to listen to this. I know there's so many different things pulling for our attention, so I thank you for that. And God, I pray that anything that I said, anything that we read, that you'd highlight it in this moment. Just highlight it. Hey, that was for me. That was for me. That was for me. And here's the cool thing about this, Holy Spirit, is oftentimes when we sit underneath the preaching of your word, the pastor, the minister, they won't even talk about a specific thing, but you speak a specific thing to us. It wasn't even tied to the message, but they said one thing and it led us down a different path in our mind. And it was the exact word that we needed. And you spoke something, not even directly through them, but indirectly. And so, Holy Spirit, you speak whatever you want to speak. We're listening. Come on, right now, tune your ear in to the Holy Spirit as best you can. And even now, would you have the boldness to ask him that question I talked about at the very beginning? Holy Spirit, reveal to me, am I on the right path? Am I following you like I should? Am I walking not just in man's wisdom or woman's wisdom, but am I walking in godly wisdom? Am I following your direction, your leading, Holy Spirit? Not only am I hearing you clearly, but when I do hear you, am I responding? Am I walking out in obedience to what you've asked me to do? Speak to us, Holy Spirit. And just like I do every single week, if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice, whether they're watching this live or later on, if there's anybody that's far from you, I pray right now they would bow their knee to you, bow their life to you. God, you are real. You are good. You are gracious. You're not mad at them. You're madly in love with them. You care about them. They're your son. They're your daughter. And I pray right now you would overwhelm them with your love. They've been overwhelmed by a lot of things. But in this moment, may you overwhelm them with your love, almost like waves of grace washing over them. And Holy Spirit, may you come in and draw them unto yourself. It's what you do. And if you're sensing the Holy Spirit tug at your soul, if you're sensing God whispering over you and over your life, come on home, surrender your life to me. If that's you, this is your moment to respond. Not just feel God or sense God, not just hear God, but respond to God. He will not make you follow him. It's an act of free will that you would surrender your life to the Lord. So I want to lead you in that process. This is the beginning, not the end, but I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation, that you surrender your life to Jesus, that you put your trust and your faith in him and what he's done for you. So right there where you're watching, right there where you're listening, if you want to give your life to Jesus, surrender your life to him, repeat this prayer out loud after me. Say this, Jesus, I surrender all. I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I give you my future. Jesus, I put my full trust in you and you alone. Jesus, I believe. Come on, let's say that together again. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And so I ask you in this moment to forgive me of all my sin. I surrender all. Make me new. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me first. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Hey, I'm celebrating with you. What an awesome thing for you to do. Really the beginning of a new life, a new journey. And some of you, you're beginning again. And I want to encourage you, before you hit into this or close this window on your phone, I hold in my hand a Start Bible kit. If God changed your life today, if you surrender your life to Jesus, would you email us info@christcove.net? If you're watching on Facebook, you can send us a DM. Let us know. Call us during office hours this week. We want to get one of these in your hands, whether you're local or not, but you got to let us know. Please contact us. And also, for those of you that are church family that are local, again, I'm so excited to be able to meet with you in person again this upcoming Sunday, May the 24th, 9:30 and 11 a.m. It's going to be spectacular. I cannot wait to worship God with you. I've got expectation in my heart that the Holy Spirit's going to move in power, that we're going to see miracles. I just got fresh faith, so you believe with me. It's going to be an amazing celebration. I love you so much, and I'll see you this upcoming Sunday.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.